Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The majority of Americans from across the political spectrum and from all backgrounds and beliefs have come to a consensus that we should pursue this research. That the potential it offers is great, and with proper guidelines and strict oversight, the perils can be avoided.
That, of course, President Obama yesterday signing an executive order that lifts restrictions on the federal funding of human embryonic stem cell research. Here now to talk about what this means and specifically what it might mean for our area is Susan Solomon, CEO and co-founder of the New York Stem Cell Foundation. Ms. Solomon, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
And also here is Michael Christman. He's the president and CEO of the Coriell Institute for Medical Research, a biomedical research institution located in Camden, New Jersey. Dr. Christman, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
So we'll talk about New York and New Jersey. And Susan Solomon, how much is stem cell research worth in dollars to the New York area?
Well, it's a very interesting question. New York is one of the top. I think that we're second after the Massachusetts area in receiving NIH dollars. And so what the president's action yesterday will do is enable all of the researchers who were either deterred from going into stem cell research because they were concerned about pursuing an avenue of research which wasn't going to have money, or they already are doing stem cell research that's now eligible, from going in. And I think that we'll see proportionally a huge, huge burst. It's impossible to quantify it in dollars, but I think that, you know, it's probably going to be, a couple of $100 million. And it's going to be very substantial, and we're going to see laboratories expand, people hired at all different levels, not only researchers, but, you know, people to build labs, to wash the glasses in labs, people from labs going to restaurants around their labs. It's going to be very significant.
Now, Dr. Christman, New York and New Jersey were two of eight states, the other six being California, Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Maryland, and Massachusetts, that moved to fund stem cell research anyway after the 2001 restrictions. So does this mean that New Jersey is in a good position because it's that much more out in front of other states to actually get money because you have, you know, maybe not shovel-ready but test tube-ready projects?
In theory, I mean, the bond referendum in New Jersey was actually denied by voters. So there was a $400 million plus bond referendum last year that was voted down in New Jersey. So New Jersey has been a relatively stem cell friendly state historically, and there are still some substantial revenues that have gone in over the years from New Jersey. But that major bond initiative was actually voted down. So in principle, New Jersey is fairly well positioned, but I think damage has been done really by the Bush rescinding of federal funding in 2001 nationwide, because you have a whole sort of generation of scientists that saw embryonic stem cell funding as not a viable career, and those people are now either have left the country or they're doing something else. So while Obama's rescinding that ban is certainly the right thing to do, this is going to be a slow sort of restart of the process.
I know that bond issue was voted down in New Jersey, but there must be some state funding that leaves New Jersey ahead of a lot of other places, because I'm reading reports that say things like, last month Governor Corzine cut $13 million from this year's state budget for stem cell research after slicing $21 million in January. We got that from a press report. So something's been funded at the state level, correct?
That's true, but it's not a lot, because he cut almost all of it. So you're looking at what was there for the most part. So it's true, however, that New Jersey has been relatively progressive, and Governor Corzine has been supportive of stem cell research, and was really grateful for that. But it's not big dollars if you compare it to the federal dollars. So Bush cuts in 2001 had an enormous impact, because it's not just like that was one source of funding for embryonic stem cell research. That was the major source.
Governor Corzine told me that very early on that he saw stem cell research as an economic driver for New Jersey, and I think that the fact that the ballot initiative was voted down was not a referendum on stem cell research, but you know, unfortunately, the fiscal difficulties in New Jersey.
Right.
But certainly in New York, where you know New York State Governor Patterson established a he was the driver. Under Governor Spitzer, and then in his tenure, there's a $600 million program. About $110 million or so has already been awarded of that money, $600 million over 11 years. And it certainly is an innovative program, and what it allows New York to do is really to be primed for these federal stimulus dollars. So New York, in effect, has hedged their bet and doubled their money. And there's something called the SBIR, the Small Business Innovative Research Fund, and that is provides federal dollars to biotech and small business. And in New York, we also have something called the East River Science Park, which the New York City Partnership, which is led by that initiative, which is led by Maria Gotch and Russ Carson and Henry Kravis. And the developer of that is Alexandria, and they're the same developer that did Mission Bay in San Francisco, where Genentech is located, and a huge biotech center in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And they understand all of the different ingredients that need to go into a biotech community. So, you know, hopefully we now have a very large open for business sign in this country and in the state, and hopefully in the tri-state area, because we've reached out to Connecticut, where they have a small but very well-executed state program, and you know, hopefully New Jersey, you know, the budget constraints are an issue, but you know, there's a tremendous amount of talent in New Jersey, and so you know, hopefully they'll be able to benefit as well. The New York program urges people to do out-of-state collaborations, New York collaborators with collaborators in other states.
So maybe we'll hear something about this from Governor Corzine in his budget address today. Who knows? We are talking about the impact of President Obama's lifting of Bush-era restrictions on embryonic stem cell research, the impact on the New York, New Jersey area, with Susan Solomon, CEO and co-founder of the New York Stem Cell Foundation, and Michael Christman, president and CEO of the Coriell Institute for Medical Research, which is in Camden. And Susan Solomon, I gather you were actually at the signing ceremony yesterday.
Yes, it was really extraordinary. It's an incredible first step. It was a very, very patriotic event. It was a very thoughtful speech, and it was really thrilling to be there. Jamie Thompson and John Gearhart, who actually isolated the human embryonic stem cell in 1998, were there, and many of the leading stem cell scientists and advocates that made this possible. But, you know, I think what also was very heartening is that the president recognized that this is a first step, because there still is the Dickey Wicker Amendment, which is a nasty bit of legislation that's attached by Congress each year to the Health and Human Services Appropriation Bill. And that prevents federal funds from being used to actually create stem cell lines in the first place. So private labs like ours and private funding, non-federal funding, is going to be critical to making and improving stem cell lines and making the patient and disease-specific models of disease out of stem cell lines that are so important. And that still is impossible with federal funds.
So,
and he recognized that. It's a first step. It's not the whole nine yards.
So, Dr. Christman, when Susan talks about creating embryonic stem cell lines for disease-specific research and other things, what does that mean? And for people who are concerned that an embryo is a human life, when you say creating embryonic stem cells or stem cell lines, what does that mean in scientific terms? What do you do?
Well, I think the primary source of embryonic stem cells would be from in vitro fertilization clinics, where embryos have been created and are not used for implantation because they are created in excess in general for couples in infertility clinics, and most of those are destined to simply be discarded. So they could be used in research, and it's those that would be the primary source for study in the laboratory, and it's those that were were banned by for use, other than a few selected lines, by President Bush in 2001. But what's kind of remarkable is that you can't hold back the sort of march of science, and just in the last year, a variety of scientific breakthroughs have actually figured out how to effectively turn a skin cell into a cell called an induced pluripotent stem cell, which effectively turns a skin cell into a cell that kind of has the same properties as an embryonic stem cell. We don't know to what extent it really has exactly the same properties, but it effectively takes a skin cell and makes it kind of like an embryonic stem cell without ever having made an embryo. And actually, at our institute at Coriell, we've established a lab to study those kinds of cells. So right now, the ban on studying embryonic stem cells is very important, and it's now important that we compare those two types of cells, because we don't really understand at this point what different therapeutic potentials those two types of cells may have. So the advantage of the skin cell with the properties of an embryo is that you can make those from any given individual, and therefore they might have therapeutic relevance for that individual, and that they wouldn't be rejected by that individual's immune system. But the advantages of the two types get kind of technical and complex to discuss, but it just illustrates how you really can't hold back the science. I think the ethical debate is very complex, and I think the point is that while there can be merit to both sides of the right to life issue, whether you have the right to destroy an embryo and whether an embryo is a life form or not, you have, to illustrate the complexity of that, you have conservative senators like Orrin Hatch of Utah bringing up the point that doesn't right to life extend to the living? Also, doesn't a live person have the right to the potential therapeutic benefits
that
might derive from?
Dr. Crispin, here's a question from a listener posting on our website. Norman in Hell's Kitchen asks, what can you learn from embryonic stem cell research that you can't learn from adult stem cells?
Well, adult stem cells are sort of by definition partly differentiated. So an embryonic stem cell is a cell that forms by the fusion of a sperm and an egg and has, by definition, the potential to form every cell type in the entire human body. An adult stem cell has differentiated along a pathway and has lost the potential to turn into every single type of cell in the human body, but might have the potential, say, to turn into all types of blood cells only, but not the potential to turn into brain cells or other types of tissues. So,
Susan Solomon, before you go, can you list or mention any particular research projects going on in the New York area that use embryonic stem cells that may be empowered by this executive order?
Well, there are a tremendous number of projects to actually study various kinds of diseases using the IP cells. And what it now will allow, which is the cells that Dr. Crispin referred to, but the literature actually is about to show that these cells that are reprogrammed from adult cells are similar to, but they are not the same as embryonic stem cells. They don't have all the same properties. So what we're doing is taking the lines that we make, both using the discarded IVF embryos, but also using eggs that are specifically donated for research and using another technique called SCNT. And we're now able to take our very advanced lines that model disease and give them to researchers in other laboratories, and they can then use federal funds to study those. This was impossible, and all of our Petri dishes were marked with a big red X. So that's all changed.
Dr. Crispin, what about New Jersey? What's the most exciting embryonic stem cell research you have going there?
I think the result, there's some very exciting things happening with the skin cells, the induced pluripotent stem cells, and we're committed at Coriell to some projects that involve heart function. I think there's some evidence that heart disease actually can be impacted in the clinic by treatment with stem cells. And heart disease is one of the biggest killers of Americans. So I think the therapeutic potential there is very high.
All right. Well, we'll see what flows to New York and New Jersey and Connecticut as a result of this executive order. And we'll see if Congress revisits the so-called, is it Wicky Dicker or Dicker? It's the
Sticky Wicker or Sticky Wicket.
The Sticky Wicket Amendment.
Yeah.
It's a Democratic Congress. Wouldn't they have an easy time detaching that from federal funding now?
Well, I think that there are still, I think this is going to be incremental, and I think that to the extent that, even though it's a vocal minority, it's still vocal. I think that we're going to have to just watch the process and see what the political calculus is. Yes, absolutely, it could be done, but there really has to be, I think, bipartisan consensus. Orrin Hatch was there yesterday at the signing. You want to have those same people standing by and being
all
willing
right.
to do this.
Susan Solomon, CEO and co-founder of the New York Stem Cell Foundation. Michael Christman, president and CEO of the Coriell Institute for Medical Research in Camden. Thank you both for coming on with us.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And if President Obama kept that promise, maybe he hasn't kept so many promises yet to people currently living with disabilities. We'll find out why not in a minute.